Exorcist: The Beginning was the number one film at the box office last weekend. It made $18 million, despite reviews that said the story behind the film was more interesting than the story on screen. Critic Bob Mondello has a few Exorcist stories of his own.
I may have been the only person on the planet who had never heard of The Exorcist when the original film opened in 1973. I was fresh out of school and a theater nut who did not read much, obviously, or I'd have been aware it was on the bestseller lists for several years. When a couple of friends dragged me to see it on opening day, I had no idea whether it was a comedy or a romance. I was just going along because I had nothing better to do. So anyway, we go into the theater here in Washington, D.C., and it's packed, which seemed odd for a midweek matinee, and the film starts.
Allahu Akbar, Allah.
Somewhere in the Middle East, Max von Sydow is digging up weird artifacts that look like dragons, and I'm thinking, okay, exorcism has something to do with religion, right? And I'm still trying to puzzle that out when he almost gets run down by a horse and the audience shrieks and then starts laughing. And I'm thinking, well, maybe it's a comedy. Except nothing funny happens for a while, and then a title says we're in Georgetown, which is maybe 20 blocks from the theater we're in, and the audience cheers at the title, and I think, ah, so that's why we're here. It's a local flick. So I settle back, and then Ellen Burstyn hears a noise and lights a candle and goes up into the attic, and suddenly the flame on the candle shoots about 6 feet in the air.
Smells nice.
Jesus Christ, Carl, don't do that.
And I'm thinking, what do you mean, don't do that? Your candle just turned into a blowtorch. Clearly this wasn't a comedy, and 90 minutes later, my friends are in hysterics at how much I'd freaked out, and I'm vowing never to eat pea soup again. Exorcist scared up so much money that there had to be a sequel, and 4 years later it came out. By this time, I was in the film business as a publicist, and the most ominous thing I noticed about Exorcist 2 was that even with Richard Burton heading the cast, you didn't hear much about it in advance.
Satan has become an embarrassment to our progressive views.
I remember the film opened on Friday to huge crowds, just like the first one, but on the way out, the theater staff and I would watch them walking down the line, telling the next crowd, get your money back while you can. It was the only film I'd seen where Saturday's 6 shows took in less money than Friday's 2 shows. By Sunday, it was a certified disaster, and it took 13 years before Hollywood got up the nerve to make Exorcist 3. I was a critic by then, so I got to say that it wasn't bad, but no one listened, even with George C. Scott growling irreverently.
Would a god who is good invent something like death? Plainly speaking, it's a lousy idea. It's not popular, Father. It's not a winner.
There you go, blaming God.
Who should I blame? Phil Rizzuto?
Most critics were affirmative, but audiences wanted scares, and Exorcist 3 was mostly comic relief, so it tanked. The response was better for a version of the original Exorcist with added special effects a few years later, which is probably why Warner Brothers got nervous when art film director Paul Schrader turned in an Exorcist prequel last year that they regarded as not scary enough. Instead of releasing it, they hired action director Rennie Harlan to start over with new actors, more blood, and lots of cracked green makeup that makes Isabella Scorupco look like Linda Blair. It doesn't work. But in Hollywood, horror franchises never really die. Already there are rumors that Warner's plans to package the two prequels it paid for, Schrader's shelved one and Harlan's theatrical one, together on DVD, all of which would make me much more excited if I could just get back to that innocent naivete I had when the first Exorcist came out, and a big flame on a candle made my pulse race. Weren't those the days? I'm Bob Mondello.
Our program is directed by Bob Boylan, edited by Quinn O'Toole, and produced by Graham Smith. The technical director is Michael Cullen.
At the foreign desk, Lauren Jenkins, Ted Clark, Kevin Beasley, Bob Duncan, Jeff Sandman, Douglas Roberts, Dee Dee Skanky, and Rina Advani.
The executive producer is Christopher Turpin. I'm Alyssa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.